1 week to go. 1 week until we finally find out what this Badger team actually looks like when the games count. Today, it's our official season preview. How many games will the Badgers win this year? Is this finally the Luke Fickell turnaround story, or are we watching the beginning of the end? It's football season, boys. I'm Rajiv. He's Justin. Here we go.
Welcome to the Bucky Report, your destination for all things Wisconsin Badgers. Authentic takes.
Oh my God.
Game analysis.
Touchdown Badgers, ring one up.
And discussion from the fan perspective.
Woohoo!
Thanks for joining us and on Wisconsin.
Welcome into the Bucky Report, part of the Believe Podcast Network. We are your hosts, Rajiv and Justin, back together on a Sunday evening to talk about all things Wisconsin Badgers on today's show. It's time to put everything on the table. We're going game by game through Wisconsin's 2026 schedule, making our win-loss picks, explaining why we think each game goes the way it does, and finding out where that leaves each of us at the end of the season. We'll also get into our biggest concern, what gives us the most confidence, and the storylines that could define the year. We'll also make our picks for the Big Ten and National Championship. This is what we've all been waiting for. It's football season, boys. Fantastic. Can't wait. I honestly just can't wait for the game. I'm pumped that we're here. We've been talking all summer, going through our entire content calendar, which has been fantastic, by the way. Go back and watch any of these shows that you may have missed. Our Know Your Foe series got wrapped up with the rodents from up north this past week. And of course, 1 week from today, we will be in Green Bay, actually a couple days before that. If you want to come hang out with us, grab a beer with us. Ryan's going to be there as well. He's going to be joining us on this show here in a little bit. Titletown Brewing Company on Saturday. That's going to be really close to the Badger Bash event that's happening on some park. I don't remember the name of it. That's on Fox River. And then Stadium View Bar on Sunday from 11 to 2 pregame. Then we're going to be going tailgating with this guy that's over here on the right side of the screen. That's our good buddy, Kevin Brown. You've heard of him. We've talked about him on the show. He's a really, really good friend of the show. And when we have new guests, it's really important that we give them proper intros.
Bucky Report proudly welcomes one of the greatest corporate attorneys ever to grace the streets of Chicago. A man who loves tailgating way more than he loves Greg Gard. And most importantly, Cindy's better half, Kevin Brown!
Kevin Brown joins us. How you doing, Kevin? Thanks for making your debut on the Bucky Report. How are you, my friend?
I am just fine, and I'm laughing already, so it should be a good show.
It should be a good show. Like I said, Ryan's going to join us soon. Let's get right into it. Let's start with this. Like, I think overall, we're going to go through game by game stuff. That's going to happen here within this show. But let's just start with overall big picture thoughts, Justin. Like, where's your head at right now? How are you feeling? What are your overall thoughts sort of heading into this season right now?
I think you have to come in. Like, if you're going to at any point in the season come in, right now is when you just need to be hopeful. Like, I don't know what to expect. It really frustrates me when people come into the season with a negative attitude towards it. Like, it's just, everything's going to suck. And it's kind of like, why? Just be neutral. Like, I don't understand the idea of not just being neutral about it and being like, I will reassess this as I get more information. But right now I know nothing. So I kind of look at it like this. The camp wasn't a total nightmare. And it wasn't like the greatest thing ever where we're hearing like we're loaded with NFL picks and this is going to be the most dominant Badger team we've had in the last 10 years. So I kind of look at it like I have no clue what to expect.
Kevin, you are not always the most optimistic person that I know, that's for sure. Sometimes you are, sometimes you're not. Give me your overall thoughts right now. We're a week away from the season.
Well, let me explain my outfit. As you notice, it's all black. Well, I started wearing this to games when merch started going south. So that's sort of a hint that I might not agree with Justin, but I may also be kidding. So
I'm not showing
you how I really feel.
Oh, wow. See that now? He had this whole little, look at this, this brick fake background. And then you open up all this. Oh, wow. He has a whole,
there we go.
If you are watching, for those of you that are watching on YouTube, Kevin Brown has just taken his black stuff off and has now got Badger gear on. He's ready for this Notre Dame game. Oh, boy. Oh, my goodness. Look at this.
I am ready to go, guys. This should be fun. So,
well, that should, I guess that tells me about your feelings going into the season then, clearly.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And like I was telling you before we started, I did a bunch of analysis using Phil Steele's guide, and I'm a lot more positive than I normally am, and certainly have been more positive than you guys have been until recently.
Yeah, it's not easy right now with positivity, just because there's a lot. Look at a good friend Honcho says, keep it PG-13, you know, with his, you know, thanks for all of you joining us in the chat. All right, let's get into this, Justin. What makes you the most confident? What's the one thing that you feel like right now gives you the most level of confidence heading into the season?
Well, I like some of the coaching hires, honestly, coming into this season, where I feel like they finally have the right guys in certain places. I think, like, if we came in from last offseason, I think Mateos is probably as good as you could have possibly done going to the open market for an offensive line coach. And you now for once have coaches that you feel like are mostly in lockstep with the offense and everybody's on the same page. And I think that that's a really big deal. But the other part of it is that I just think we finally feel like some of the young guys are ready to kind of be the influx here. And I really think from a attitude and like leadership standpoint on a roster, you're always going to get the most out of the guys who legitimately wanted to come and play at your school out of high school and for your coaching staff versus guys that were coming in as transfers. In the last several years for Wisconsin, we've relied on almost exclusively transfers to be the leaders in our rooms. And those guys, as much as you'd like to believe they buy in, they came here for a paycheck, and it's just a different game. And I realize that high school kids are getting money now too, but ultimately I think that the high school kids who have been working with the staff and have, you know, the world's kind of their oyster in terms of options. Like, if they chose your staff and wanted to be here from day one, whereas when you look at it from the perspective of a transfer, they chose us probably because we were the ones offering the most money.
Yeah. Kevin, what makes you most confident?
You know, I think it's the money. You know, when I've seen the reports about the money we were spending before, I mean, we couldn't be competitive with that type of money. And now we've got a commitment. And in fact, my attitude now is this isn't really what year four we're talking about going into. This, to me, is the first year that Fickell has the resources to actually compete. It would be too bad if we have a poor season and he ends up losing his job. I'd like to see two more years after that. He's got a great recruiting class coming in, and we're hearing good things about the 2028 class as well. So the money commitment is what's been made me feel the best.
It's funny, 2 years ago, we were sat on this show and we talked about how we were like, was it time to get rid of Mike Tressel? And now that's what makes me the most confident is I believe Mike Tressel's doing a fantastic job, and he has the roster that I think he needs to have an elite defense. I don't know how elite it's going to be. We're going to find out. We're going to find out real quick against a really good quarterback in CJ Carr, but the defense makes me absolutely the most confident. Like, you can be in any game if you can play defense, and if you can actually get this done right, there's just nothing that you can't do, and it's absolutely amazing. And like, oh, look at this guy. We've got an echo coming through.
Yeah, is that coming through Ryan's speakers?
He's gonna figure that out. Yeah, so that's where my confidence lies. Like, 100%, it's the fact that we've got an incredible defense that was gonna keep us in games. And I don't know what that offense is gonna look like, and we're gonna talk a lot about it tonight. But man, like, you gotta be confident about that defense. Ryan, thanks for joining us, by the way, buddy, Ryan Herrings. And I mean, we just have to do that.
The Wisconsin Badgers podcast legend himself. Rose. The host of Locked On Badgers. The one, the only, Ryan Herrings.
Ryan, what is giving you the most level of, I can't even talk right now. What are you most confident about going into this season?
Quarterback depth? I think, and I apologize for joining late. Sorry, it's a few things come up, but quarterback depth, right? Like, ultimately, we can talk about all the other parts of this program, how we think it's deeper, schedule, but quite frankly, the biggest issue this team has had the last several years is the quarterbacks have been waylaid with injuries. And I just feel better about the starter. I feel better about the backup. I feel better about the number three guy. I, I'll just ask the question. How many teams have a guy like Daniel Neal's probably fourth and Carter Smith's fifth? How many teams have a fifth string quarterback that won two games last year in the Big Ten? I mean, the quarterback depth is night and day, and I don't think that's arguable. So that's where I'm best at right now.
So I want to ask you guys this question because I've been feeling this kind of since fall camp. Is this the best depth, quarterback depth we've ever had, like since you followed the team? I can't remember a year where we've had three quarterbacks that we felt comfortable with stepping on the field. At best, you maybe had a second of like a backup that you're like, this could be good. Like maybe Mertz behind Cohn. But other than that, like we didn't feel great about the third stringer. Like Wolf never showed anything in camp that made us say, if this guy has to step on the field, we know he's going to be solid.
I don't think it's even close. I absolutely think I agree with that. There's no chance that we've ever had three quarterbacks. Like our third string quarterback might be Ryan Hopkins. It might be Deuce Adams. I'm fine with either of them get on the field. You're absolutely right, Ryan. It's a good one for sure. Let's flip it around now, Ryan. We'll start with you on this one. What's your biggest concern going into the season?
Offensive line. It's 100% for me, offensive line. I worry about the depth. I worry about the health. I worry about even if everybody is healthy, you have an untested left tackle that played guard last year and didn't play guard very well, to be quite frank. I think offensive line and particularly the depth of the offensive line is my bar none biggest concern.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. The depth specifically on the offensive line for me, like I feel like the starters I'm okay with. I feel like it, but I don't even know because we haven't even seen them all out yet. First of all, are we even going to see them start? Is Haywood going to start? Is Mandel going to start? We don't know. And that's dicey. So beyond that, that's my level of concern. It's funny. I've heard shows like not Badger driven shows that are like, oh, offensive line's a strength for them. And I'm like, I know it's not. I don't know what you're looking at, but it's not. I know maybe Justin disagrees. I think you kind of do disagree, Justin.
No, what I will say with that is I don't think that offensive line is a strength now. I think we're hopeful is that it is by the end of the season. Because I like ultimately this is the growth year you're looking at where you want to see them be solid to start and hopefully they really gel and by the end of the season they're running on all cylinders and we're really able to run the football. But I would agree. I think it's the one position that we don't know and is the focal point of this offense, because ultimately my view on the Notre Dame game is pretty simple. Play that game in a phone booth and just be like, we're going to out physical. You have a line that averages 320 across. You're not going to out athlete them. Push them, beat them up and just make them not want to stop your run game. And that's really the way Wisconsin has to win that game. So ultimately, I think they have to find a way to get that line to be productive, even if we don't feel confident in it right now. It's going to have to be. They're going to have to grow up quick.
And what's your biggest concern, Justin?
It's offensive line.
Oh, it is. Okay. All right. Kevin, what about you?
Yeah, I'm injuries. You know, yeah. One to the offensive line could kill us. And even though we're confident in the quarterbacks, more injuries at the quarterback spot, what does it do to the confidence of the team thinking they're a snake bit, you know, because we've had all these injuries every year. Same way with receiver. You know, we get injuries at receiver. I think that's going to hinder the offense and going to make it really, really difficult to score. And we're going to get plenty of nine in the box.
I mean, at some point, our injury luck has to get better, right, boys? Like, we can't have another year where this is going to happen, but of course, it's very possible.
Yes, never please know. Knock on wood.
Yeah. Oh, I'm knocking on it every time I think about it. I knock on wood. A couple quick things. Again, we talked about the Green Bay meetup at the top of the show. MSU, the Michigan State game, is going to be the meetup in Madison, October 3rd. So we'll be there. Ryan, of course, I'm sure Kevin's going to be there for that one, so that'll be a lot of fun. So we'll definitely get to Madison on the 3rd. And, of course, Titleton Brewing Company next Saturday and Stadium View Bar next Sunday. Okay, boys, let's do it. We've been talking about it all summer. Let's actually break down the schedule itself and figure out what this is going to look like. I do, by the way, have Nick Osen's picks as well. These are Nick Osen's official picks are going to be on this screen that I'm going to have up here. We're going to go game by game and talk all the way through. So I'm going to start with Notre Dame. We'll talk about it. Give me your win. Are you winning? You're losing? And a quick thing as to why. So look, I would love to say this is a win, but it's not for me. It's a loss for me in Notre Dame because of one major thing. The way Notre Dame is going to play defense against us. They know we're going to want to run the ball. They know Colton Joseph is mobile. They have the athletes to shut that down as long as they load the box. What they also have is the best secondary in the country. There's no doubt about that. And I just feel like they're going to say, okay, Colton Joseph, we're going to load the box. We're going to put pressure on you, and we're going to play man coverage in the back, and you need to beat us. And I think that's where Wisconsin is going to have a little bit of problems. I mean, this team, CJ Carr, obviously offensively, 2,700 passing yards, 24 touchdowns last season. They lost Jeremiah Love. They lost Jadarian Price. There are things you can look at with Notre Dame and think, gee, I wonder how this is going to work. But I mean, I don't see it. I just don't see it because of the fact that that defense is going to shut down Colton Joseph and I think put us in difficult situations. I want nothing more than to see this happen, but for me, it's a loss. And we're going to go Justin, Kevin, then Ryan. We're just going to go keep in this order all the way through. Justin.
Yeah, I don't think there's a chance that they're going to play most of the game in man simply because I don't think they want anything to do with turning their back on Joseph. I also think they're going to be fairly contained in what they do with a pass rush. They want to turn him into a pocket passer, and I think that's what they're going to force Joseph to do is sit back there and say, if we're going to lose this game with him picking us apart, then we're going to make him prove that he can do it. So I think we're going to see a ton of zone, and I think we're going to see the defensive line maintaining the rush lanes and just forcing him to sit still and try to be accurate and be consistent. But I do think it's a loss, and that's likely a big part of it. I think they're a team that can sit in zone and still cover really well, and I think that that's going to be a problem for us. And ultimately, I just think that they have less questions than what we have right now. We don't have many things that we feel like we can walk into this game and this is going to be, we can do this. Like we don't know that we're going to be able to run the ball really well. We don't know that we're going to be able to throw it really well. And I think Notre Dame feels pretty good about both of those.
So yeah. When I was looking at this, I took Phil Steele's guide, and he gives projected offensive and defensive and points scored. So what I did is I compared them, usually picked the number in the middle between the offense and the defense of statistics, and then took the points and divided it by the total number of yards. So I also have Notre Dame winning, but I have a very close game at 35-28. And part of the reason I did that, because I was looking at Miami's offense or defense in the game against, or Notre Dame's defense against Miami, Texas A&M, Arkansas, USC, and Purdue. And those teams averaged almost 400 yards a game. And I think if we can get in that range, we're going to score points. But I just don't think we'll beat them.
Yeah, it's an L for me too, guys. I'm sorry to nobody's surprise. I think the difference is, and I said this on a recent show, Notre Dame, I think, has a lot of paths to victory in this game. I think they can win if the score gets high. I think they can win defensively. I think they have a tremendous coaching staff. I think Wisconsin has basically one path, you know, control the line of scrimmage, run the ball, shorten the clock, and play really smart football. And we haven't seen a ton of that from Wisconsin in recent years. And I'm not confident when Notre Dame forces Colton Joseph to step back and read the field that he's going to be able to come across the middle and make the right reads against the secondary. I think there could be an easy pick or two here where the game is closer than it is relatively close. And then Notre Dame just kind of goes on a 14-point run in a couple minutes to put it away. So I don't think Wisconsin has a great shot here, guys.
That being said, we could shock the world. You've done shows on this recently, Ryan, about like what it would look like and how that would happen. It would be absolutely incredible. But yeah, I just don't see it. If we can't run the ball, we're absolutely screwed. There's just no way around it. And that's going to be the absolute issue. Does anyone, by the way, Nick Osen picked an L here. He picked a loss to Notre Dame. Does anyone have anything other than W's for the next two games? That's my big question here. I don't think so. And if you do,
you want to do margin of victory?
Yeah. I mean, there you go. I'll ask you this. Yeah. Well, by the way, this is the new order that we're going to go in. Cause I realized that my sheet's in the wrong order. So we're going to go in this order now. Are we going to put up 40 points and is this going to be an absolute blowout, either of these two games, Justin?
I think they'll both be blowouts. I actually do think that this team has improved coming into this season. And I think we will see Colton Joseph be very effective against these two teams. Just because I think offensively, the offensive line, I think, will be fine with either one of these teams. And because of that, I think we'll run the ball effectively and Joseph's going to have time to throw. Because of that, I think they're going to probably hit on a few big plays. we don't feel great about what we have at wide receiver in terms of like guys who are experienced and have a ton of production on there. But I think athletically we feel pretty good about some of those guys being able to do some things. And I think Hilton and Rigby could be very good in this game, those two games.
Eastern Michigan's quarterback was a Michigan State transfer. This is going to be the second season there. Threw almost 3,000 yards last year, but they did finish 4-8, as did Western Illinois. Ryan, are you even slightly concerned about any of these, or are we? Because we also haven't had like a really solid blowout win for a while, right? I mean, that's a thing.
I'm not concerned in the sense of if you're going to win or lose those games. I'm concerned that we're going to come out of this first three game stretch and still not be fully like confident about what's going to happen, right? Because I think Notre Dame, there's a chance, we talked about what could happen in Notre Dame game. I don't think we're going to put up 40 points against these guys. I think the way we're going to play offense this year is going to lend itself to longer drives, controlling the clock, running the ball. I think we take care of business, but I'm just not going to predict us to score 40 points until I see it, given what we've seen the last several years on offense. And I know we've all covered the context of what's happened the last couple of years, but I think they win comfortably. I'm not going out on a limb and saying 40 points, though.
Okay. Kevin, any thoughts on these two?
Yeah, I'm out on the limb, guys, and really the optimist. Western Illinois, 49-7. Eastern Michigan, 54-14.
Wow. Listen, I would love for you to be right, man.
I definitely think they'll establish the running game, and he'll be able to pass, and I think that's going to open things up a lot.
Yeah, go ahead.
So what I'll say on that is I don't think that this isn't going to be like Paul Chris where we run the ball 50 times in these games. I think they will absolutely take every minute of these games to work on that offense and try to get their legs under them so that going into that Penn State game, they have confidence. I do expect them to continue to run their offense even if they are up in these games and do some things. And I actually do think there's one thing I feel pretty confident in. I think the offensive line is going to be good at running the football. I don't know how good they'll be in pass blocking, but I think they'll be able to run it down both these teams' throats. And because of that, I think you'll see Sama and a couple other guys break some runs. Because even against our defense, which I think we all feel pretty good about in terms of their quality, they were able to gash them at times.
Tyler Morgan says they scored 42 with Danny O'Neill last year. They'll score 40 plus for sure in at least one of these games. I agree. I think we'll have 40. I don't know that it's going to be 50, but we'll see. Okay, we're going to start with Ryan on this one, then we're going down to Kevin and then back up to me. We'll kind of go in that order. Penn State, our first true road game of the season. Of course, the big storyline of this Matt Campbell going there from Iowa State, brought a lot of players in with him. Rocco Becht is the quarterback who transferred in as well. Rocco Beck's got over 9,000 career passing yards. Like, he is a very good, experienced quarterback. Totally new era, year one of Matt Campbell at Penn State. Ryan, where are you at with this one?
Yeah, it's tough when you start getting to these programs with new coaches, and we're going to hit on several of them, obviously, on the schedule. I think this is – well, let me just start. I think this is a loss, so you can start with an L for me. I think on the road, it's tricky. You know, these are young men in college football just play better at home. You get one good call, two good calls on at home. You always do. Your players just play a little better. They're a little more comfortable. I think they have the quarterback edge, just if nothing else, in experience at this level. So you give them the quarterback edge. They have a couple really good tight ends. Clayton Hansen's a really good running back. They're going to be at home. I think it's close, and it wouldn't shock me if we beat them, but I think Penn State takes this one.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think it's going to be close, but you'll see on most of the games, I think it's going to be close. And the home field advantage for Penn State, I looked at a little bit of that, and sometimes the statistics show it can be a touchdown or more with the home field advantage. And I think that'd be the difference in the game.
Nick Olsen also has a loss for this one. He's got some really strange picks the rest of the way, by the way. Not strange, but just different from, I think, what we're going to have. So it's going to be interesting talking points. Look, I really, really want to pick this to be a W. I think this is going to be that. This could be, we had a couple statement wins last year with Illinois and Washington, just given they were ranked teams at the time. I think that was big for Luke Fickell. And I want to pick this. I just don't feel like we've got the talent to go into Happy Valley, into that stadium, and actually make something happen. I think defensively, we're going to be in it. A lot of games should be close because of the defense. That is a thing. But yeah, I just don't see it. I really, really want to pick it, but I just can't do it. I just don't feel like it's going to happen, man.
Yeah, my thoughts on this, and Ryan, I'll ask this question to you because I'm kind of curious what your thoughts are on it. Do you think the ceiling for each quarterback, you would still vote the same way. Like, based off a skill set, do you think that Joseph has a higher ceiling, athletic? And I'm speaking not production, just athletic, like based off athletic and what we know he's capable of when he's on. That his ceil- is. Do you think he has a higher ceiling, or that Becht has a higher ceiling?
I think if it all clicks, CJ has the higher upside,
and that's kind of how I view it too. I think this is a loss. I think it's a lot closer to a coin flip than a lot of people think it is. I think it's more of like a 60-40 game to me. And I think that Joseph is kind of the X factor in that game. If he plays really well, he's such a handful to deal with that I think I just look at Penn State this year and I say, this is a good team. It's not a great team. And when I look at it in that context, I'm kind of like, it would not shock me if Wisconsin finds a way to break a couple big plays where that game flips on it and we somehow win it. But I do think that it's going to be a loss just based off of if we played this 10 times, they'd probably win 6 of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, it would be, again, really big statement opportunities in Notre Dame and Penn State. What amazing like vibes that would be if we get either one of these games done. This is where the schedule turns to important, a really, really important game, probably like truly a season defining game. Honestly, when you look at Michigan State at home, Milivojevic is their quarterback, of course, new head coach, Pat Fitzgerald. They're coming off a 4-8 season, but they have Pat Fitzgerald now, a guy that doesn't have his old defensive coordinator, but still someone who's been very successful in thwarting many Wisconsin Badger teams, by the way, over the years. Kevin, we're starting with you on this one. Give us your pick on Michigan State at home.
Well, I'll tell you the thing to watch in this game, having watched way too many Northwestern games. They run a play on offense with three wideouts to one side and a single wideout to the other. The three wideouts cut across the field, and the other guy sneaks out the back end. And I haven't seen Wisconsin ever stop that doggone play. So if we see that again, I'll be crying in my beer. And statistically, the way I analyzed it, it says Michigan State should win, but I have Wisconsin 31-21 because we're at home.
Going to me?
Yeah, I was on mute. Sorry about that. Okay, so you're going win. I like it. I think you kind of have to at this point, honestly. And I'm with it. I'm with it as well. By the way, Nick Osen has also picked this to be a W. Yeah, it's a win for me because this is if we're not remember the Maryland game last year, boys. That Maryland game that I was like sad that I wasn't at because you guys were at it and you had some great seats and you're with Curtis and these guys and I'm thinking, oh man, like it was. Bummer that I'm not going to be there. And then I'm on the golf course and I thought to myself, yeah,
check.
I'm actually really glad I'm not at that game because that was an absolute disaster. This has that feeling of a home game that you're like, we need to win this game. If we lose this game, I legitimately think that's when things can turn in opposite direction for Fickell. We could talk, people could be talking about maybe the Fire Fickell chant reappears, whatever happens. That's when the question marks really start because 2-2, I think, is a very expected and reasonable record at this point. But this one's got to be a W first. So, I think it's going to happen as well. I think again, defensively, Colton Joseph should be able to get by that. That is not a very vaunted defense. So I'm going win against Michigan State.
Yeah, I'm going win too. I actually think that this game is going to be fairly comfortable. I've made my point there several times that I just think Fitzgerald without Hankowitz is just a different animal. And when like Hankowitz is the one that I legitimately feared. He was the one that for whatever reason, his defense was a problem for us every time we faced them. And they just weren't the same without him. So I feel good about our chances for this, unless they figure out somebody that's a Hankowitz light that can be a problem, but this is a different offense than what we did under Paul Chris too. So I just look at this as a different ballgame. I think that he's got his project there is actually a bigger project than what ours was this year. And I think he's got less resources to do it. So while I do think he'll have them playing tough, I wonder if there's enough talent on that roster. And I think that it's going to take them a few years to get their act together.
Yeah, it's a W for me. I'm actually similar to Justin on this one. I'm not a very big Pat Fitzgerald guy. I think he gets a little more love than deserved. If you look back at the last couple of years at Northwestern, that thing fell off the rails, and his rebuild there is big. I like the quarterback. Milivojevic is dual threat kid, 6'3". He's a good weapon for them, but That's a lot of rebuild they have to do. I think our roster is significantly better, and we're at home, and that's a must win. Like, Michigan State doesn't need to win that game. It's year one in the Fitz rebuild. This is a must win for Luke Fickell and the Badgers this year. And I just think it means more. It's at home. We have a better roster. Give me Bucky by like 17 to 21 in this game. I think we win relatively comfortably.
A question for you guys. If they lose this game, is Luke Fickell still the coach the following Monday?
Yes.
Yes, it depends on how it looks. Like, if we get blown out by Michigan State, or we lose to Western Illinois or Eastern Michigan, then maybe not. But if a loss in Michigan State is not going to be the final straw.
Okay.
I just don't think there's a candidate on the staff that makes a ton of sense.
Yeah. Right. That can be fair. You probably have to go Grimes.
And ultimately, like, I mean, you do really have to – all the money that we've put into this team, and after last year and coming out saying we're going to invest in him, you got to give him more than just a couple weeks at the beginning of the season. So either way, he's our coach. But, you know, who knows? Who knows how long that might last? Okay, UCLA away. Nico Iamaleava is their quarterback. He's in his second year. But the big story there is new head coach Bob Chesney, another new head coach. This is a James Madison guy that took them to the college football playoff, following in those Kurt Cignetti footsteps, sort of. High upside team, but a lot of roster turnover, a lot of question marks. Offensive line is certainly a question mark. There's a lot of issues there. I'm going to start with Nick's pick on this one, because Nick actually has this as a loss. Nick is thinking that we're going to go to UCLA and get beat. And I understand this thought from Nick. I understand why he did this, because it's not going to be easy to go there. I think if you believe in Bob Chesney and what he's going to do, then it's going to be a hard game. I think Bob Chesney will do good things at UCLA. It's just not going to be this season. And I personally am not a big believer in Nico Iamaleava. I don't think he's really that spectacular. But because also the supporting cast just isn't quite there. They did bring in players. They did bring in some beef up front on the defensive side. I just don't see them really getting it done and being that much better than us. I think Wisconsin goes there and gets the W. It's going to be very, very close. And I think this is going to be one of those games where we're like super tense in the fourth quarter. But again, late turnover by Posa or Catalano, someone like that. I think that's the difference in this game. Justin, where are you at?
Well, defense travels. Honestly, I think that this is a win for us. And I look at it like this. I just think that we are better in the trenches right now than UCLA is. And I think that that's what that game will come down to. I don't think they'll be able to run on us. And I'm not afraid of Nico just sitting back there picking us apart. Like, I think he's a solid quarterback in college. I haven't seen anything from him that I look at and say that this guy is an absolute stud. And because of that, I also don't think he has the weapons there to truly cause a ton of problems with us. And this is the most athletic secondary we've had in a while. So I just don't think that you're going to find mismatches that you'll be able to exploit with him, where they're going to be able to just find the big plays to create problems for us. And I do think we'll be able to run on them. So I think this is a win for us. Again, I think that it may be an ugly game, but I think that we get it done. I think the defense looks good in a game like this.
I think I have this as a loss. I think traveling.
How dare you?
Again, like, it's, people need to kind of remember, like, that's a long road trip, right? That's a long road trip, and teams struggle going from the West Coast to the Midwest and vice versa. These things are real things that impact 21 to 22, 23-year-old kids. And then I like Nico. I don't think Nico's great, but I think he's a solid college quarterback that is now going into a more quarterback-friendly offense. Some of the pieces brought over from James Madison are pretty good. And then they went out and got a stud from Oklahoma to be their star. They're kind of in the middle of their defense at linebacker. It depends what you believe in Chesney, for sure. But if he's a version, even a lesser version of what Cignetti was, like, I don't think that's gonna be easy. I think it's going to be a tough game. And usually if it's a tough, close game, I'm going to favor the home team with a quarterback that I think is maybe just a little more experienced at this level, a guy that's played in the SEC, you know? So I hate picking a loss in this one. I did have a W, and then the more I think about it, the more uneasy I feel about this. And I've had a couple, I'll finish on this. I've had a couple people tell me, not Badger or Bruins guys, be really worried about this game. There are a couple people that are higher on UCLA than maybe the general consensus is.
And go ahead, Justin, jump in.
Well, I was just going to say, I think that that's the biggest thing there is. I think that there's a lot of sunshine pumping on Chesney right now. And I can't get that vision of them just getting obliterated by Oregon and saying, does this even translate into the Big Ten? And I think that that's a big part of it, where it's like, can you make it work here? Like, you need to prove that you can beat teams that are at this level, not at the JMU level.
You know, this was a tough one to pick because, like all the games where there's a new coach in place and we really don't know what those teams are going to look like. When I ran the numbers, UCLA comes out a little bit ahead, and you add in the home field advantage and they'd come out ahead. So I decided to go with my heart, and I've got us winning this one.
I love it. Kevin's like, well, all my research says UCLA is going to win, but don't worry, I'm picking the Badgers. I mean, that's great. That's good. Okay, home game against UCLA. That, by the way, that was that we did have a bye week before that. I did want to mention that there's a bye week before UCLA, which is helpful with that travel, as commented there by Scott W. Home against USC, certainly one of the best teams in the country. Jane Mayava is their quarterback, third season there. And the biggest storyline for me here is truthfully Gary Patterson. That's a big, big defensive hire. He is their new defensive coordinator. So I'm going to start with this one. I if Gary Patterson wasn't the defensive coordinator, I probably would pick this, maybe because it's at home and maybe there's a little something there, but I don't see it. We're going to get beat because I think USC has got an absolutely incredible offense, and they're going to be a load to deal with for a lot of teams this year. I know we're going to be okay defensively, but I don't really see how we're going to score against a Gary Patterson defense with that. That is the best hire, I think, of any coordinator in the country this season. So, yeah, I feel like USC is going to win. I hate to say it, but it is. Justin, you're up.
Yeah, I don't feel that way about Patterson. I think he got by for a long time on what his accomplishments were early on in his tenure there. They kind of fell off a cliff there for a while. I just think that the problems with defensive coordinators have less to do with who the defensive coordinator is and more to do with Lincoln Riley. I think they're going to be very good offensively. I think this is a loss for me simply because I'm not sure we can score enough. But I'm not overly afraid of their defense. I just think that unless we've taken enough steps offensively, I don't know if we'll score enough in this game to outscore USC.
It's a loss for me as well. I just think the roster at USC is significantly better. I feel a lot better about their quarterback. They return all five offensive linemen. This could be a really good USC team. And that's a team that I think was 7-2 in the Big Ten last year, if I remember correctly. And they, I think, are better this season. Like, one of the hot takes I had on a previous show was, you know, USC could find itself into the Big Ten championship game. I think that's how good this roster is. And maybe Indiana or Ohio State doesn't make it. They're really good. Five offensive linemen, great quarterback, weapons on the outside, deep on defense. I know they don't travel well, which is a real thing. But I just think the roster is in a much better spot, unfortunately.
And you were worried about Patterson. Didn't USC play yesterday, didn't they?
They did. Yeah. Yep.
That defense gave up 21 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, but with all of their with no one that's going to start another game the rest of the season.
Oh, yeah, I think I realized that. Yeah, I also have this as a loss, but a close game.
Okay. Nah, Nick Osen has this as a W for the Badgers. He feels good about the home game against, you know, Nick Osen's our optimist on this. I mean, I used to be the optimist. I still am, but, you know, we'll see. So that's Nick Osen. Okay, Justin, you're leading off with this one. I'm excited to hear your take on this because I think you and I differed a little bit in our talks when we talked about Iowa when we did our Know Your Foe series. Where are you at with the away game, Kinnick Stadium? They are still, from my understanding, they are still deciding between quarterbacks, whether it's going to be Brown or Heklinski. So one of them is kind of more of a dual threat guy. The other one's more of a pocket passer. Either way, Kirk Ferentz has, you know, clearly been the guy for a long time. Nothing's really going to be different about this team, other than, you know, obviously different players. They did lose a decent amount of production as well, Justin, Iowa.
That ultimately is what is going to sway this game to me, and I actually think that it plays in Wisconsin's favor. I feel better about our quarterback situation. I don't think it's particularly close. They've struggled. They've been very inconsistent from what I've heard from the Iowa camp. They are a young team, more so than a lot of the teams in the Big Ten, and I think that this is going to be a year where they regress to the mean a little bit. I by no means think that the defense is going to be bad, but I do think it's going to come back to, instead of being great, being just good. And I'm curious to see if teams can stump the run game, if they have any type of offensive ability to move the football, because I'm not totally sold on what they have there. So to me, I think this is the type of game that Wisconsin wins. It's going to be close, but I think that this is kind of their game they hang their hat on for the season. But I do think that there's a chance here that we're better in a couple spots by a little bit that ends up carrying us in this one.
I would love to say win. I would love to pay Iowa back. Like, I would love it. I just, there's no part of me that can have lived
totally fair
years and pick Wisconsin in this game after seeing what Iowa's done to this program. And it's in Kinnick. That's such a difficult place to play, even when everything is working smoothly for you. And we're not sure everything will be. We think it's better. I think it's better. I think this team's better. I'm trying not to be a pessimist, I promise, but Iowa's got a system that just works. We know their defense is going to be sound. We know they're going to be on point. We know they're going to play a certain way. And we don't know that about ourselves, guys. We don't yet. It's in Kinnick. Iowa's handled us for 2 years. I think you just got to go Iowa here.
Well, this is another one where I didn't know what to do, and I think we have to get an upset in one of the, you know, the four major games. So I went with my heart on this one, and I'm going to say we're going to beat Iowa there. This is going to be the upset we get that shows the program's headed in the right direction.
Well, Nick Osen's with you, Kevin. He also thinks this is going to be a W for Bucky. I mean, Tyler Morgan here says Iowa is the least experienced team in the Big Ten and has no QB. Wisconsin by double digits. This cannot be further from the truth.
I'm not saying that.
Here's the thing. 42-10, 37-0. We are better. They are probably a little bit worse. They're podcasters, by the way. We did a Know Your Foe with one of their guys. They are very high on their team. 10-2, outside playoff chances. That's what these guys are saying. And listen,
they're nuts.
Here's the difference, though. But it's not. Here's why it's not nuts. Their floor never dropped out like our floor did. They've always been this team. They continue to be at an absolute minimum 8 wins, 9, 10. Like, they can do that. And my thinking is, like, Iowa fans have the absolute right to say they're going to win 10 wins because they've done it a hell of a lot more recently than we have. If we've been smoked by this team in the last few years, I want so badly to pick a W here. But if it was at home, I would probably feel differently about this game. But going on the road to Kinnick Stadium, it'll be one of these games where it's close for, you know, a half. And in the second half, we're going to turn the ball over, or they're going to have some crazy punt return. Their special teams is a concern for them, by the way. But the problem is, a concern for Iowa special teams is basically every other team in the country, because Iowa special teams is so elite that their bad special teams is just normal. I don't see it happening. If Iowa wins this game by 14 points, I'm not going to be that surprised. I think we're going to win more games this year. But, man, Justin, I don't see it. I know you have something you want to add.
Yeah, what I will say is Iowa has gone from being one of the most senior teams in the conference to being one of the youngest teams in the conference, or at least experienced. And that is a factor in this. Like, you are going from guys who have a ton of experience under their belt and understanding of what the way they want to do things, and very much so going to a bunch of young guys who you hope don't make mistakes. And I'm not saying that they're not talented, and this is not a game that I think that they win. And like, this could very well be a field goal type game if they end up winning it. I would never picture this being a blowout, but I do think that you have somebody like Joseph, which I think, listen, I know we want to take the beating from what we did last year. That team quit. I'll be quite honest with last year's team. Simmons killed us in that game, and that team just caved. He turned the ball over 3 times in the first quarter, and it was just that team gave up. And that's basically what ended up happening. Do I think that they were better than 30, or they were 37 points better than us? I don't. I don't think it matters if you have your fourth string quarterback playing and the team isn't invested and thinks that guy can lead them to a win. So you have to hope that this team is in a better condition and has somebody that Joseph has proven himself a little bit by this point, that they have a guy that they feel like can take them to a win in that game.
I ultimately just feel like, you know, that yes, they're less experienced, Justin, but they're also a team that's like, they have a culture there. They've got an identity, and they continue to just churn this out year after year. It matters.
The bulk of those guys that they're relying on this year are from like FCS schools who are not Iowa.
But that's what I'm saying. Like that, but in the past, they've still done it with new players. They have a culture, they have an identity, and until they don't win eight games, I'm going to just believe they're going to continue to do that.
But let me ask a quick question before you go on to the next one. Wasn't the Iowa game the last game before Posa and Catalano started?
Did they have a lot of games after Iowa?
Or was I think it was two games after Iowa, I believe. I think it was. That they started.
Right. So, and to me, that's a huge factor in the way that game could have gone had they been in there and playing. I mean, we got to look at that last five games of the season, and except for the Minnesota game, that changed things dramatically. And I think that can have a big impact when we go to Iowa City.
Yeah. Okay. Rutgers, we're going to start with you on this one, Ryan. That's is a home game, which is good. Dylan Lonergan is a transfer from Boston College. He had 2,000 yards last year, 12 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. They've got a decent number of offensive weapons if Shiano can get the defense back to his usual standard. Ryan, where are you at with Rutgers?
Yeah, let's get back on track. Let's get a W. Like, we get a W here. Now, I will say, I like Lonergan, the BC kid. Like, that's a player that I was like, man, I wouldn't hate Wisconsin. Now, I like what we did at Colton Joseph, make no mistake. But he's a kind of a good player. He's interesting. And then they got a receiver, KJ Duff, that is 6'6 and really good. Like, the type of guy that we keep pining for, that Rutgers and Maryland always have three of somehow. I don't understand it. But that being said, I think we're a much better roster. We're at home. I think our defense is going to play out in that game. I think Wisconsin pretty comfortably here. We get back on track.
Well, they do have a decent offense. They don't have a decent defense. And Phil Steele ranked the top 70 defensive units at linebacker and defensive backs. And Rutgers wasn't mentioned in any of those analyses. So while they have an adequate offense, they don't have a defense. I think we're going to run it up pretty well. And I had us 31-24.
Wow. Okay. That sounds closer than I'd like it to be, Kevin. I don't want it to be a 7-point game. That's scary. Nick Olson also agrees it's a W. It's a W for me too, because let me tell you something. These games here at the bottom half, back half of the schedule, there's going to be some tough ones here, but this Rutgers is one of those games. You lose this, you absolutely are now looking down the chute of, this is probably Luke Fickell's last season, because what is our record if we're losing to Rutgers? That's not going to be good. And we could have potentially, as Ryan has predicted, a 3-game losing streak coming into this game. That could be a 4-game losing streak, and that could end Luke Fickell, as far as I'm concerned. So this is definitely a must win. Justin, I'm assuming you're with the W here.
Yep. Yeah, I just think that there's one thing that consistently has happened with Wisconsin is when it comes to Rutgers, we just beat them up in the trenches. Like, even when we're not a good running football team, we still seem to run the football well or are able to just chew them up. And I think that continues. I just don't see them able to consistently do too much against us offensively, because I do believe in this defense. And I honestly think that we have enough dynamicism with this team that we can do some things offensively that will make them uncomfortable with Joseph's legs, to kind of get them out of sync a little bit on the defensive side of the ball.
Before we go on to Maryland, I'd like to point out that at this point in the season, Justin, Kevin, and Nick all have us bowl eligible at the end of the Rutgers game. So we'll see. We'll see how that continues, and whether that, when we do become bowl eligible, if we become bowl eligible. Maryland, we know that quarterback, Malik Washington, he caused us a lot of problems last year. Mike Loxley's under a lot of pressure there. But really, Malik Washington started true freshman last year, 2,900 yards, 17 touchdowns. Clearly, the reason that people are scared of Maryland is because of Malik Washington. They were able to keep him, which was a bit of a surprise. Kevin, we're starting with you on this one. Where are you at with Maryland?
Well, I think we're going to return the favor they did to us last year. And in a very, very close game, I've got Maryland losing to Wisconsin.
This game worries me, I want to just say, because of last year. I do think in the end, the reason that we win this game is the trenches. I think that we'll be able to do what we have to do up front. We'll be able to run the ball a little bit well. I think by this time in the season, our defensive line is really going to be, I mean, there should have been Jalen long before this, but the defensive line is definitely going to be a strength in this game for me. And we do have more speed. We also have speedy linebackers, all of them. So I think that's going to help contain Malik Washington. I'm going with the W here. I want to point out that Nick Olson has this as a loss. Olson believes that Maryland is going to beat us. which I understand. He said in his quote, Malik Washington is deadly. I mean, I don't know if that's exactly what he said, but he is definitely concerned about Malik Washington. He, yeah. So I'm going to talk about some of his overall thoughts when we get to the end of it here. But Justin, where are you at?
Yeah, this one for me, and I'll give this a couple of reasons why I think it's a win for us. And the reason why I'll say is, for as good as things started to turn for Wisconsin at the end of last season, it was the exact opposite for Maryland. They actually came into that game against us with a fair amount of confidence last year. They've also lost one of their best defensive edges already to a season-ending injury, which is, to me, going to be a pretty big factor in this. So the way I kind of look at it is, I do think there's a chance that Maryland's pretty beat up by this point in the season. And it's not like we last year where they played us early, where they kind of had some non-conference games to get up their confidence. They likely will have taken some lumps by this point in the season. And while I think Washington's a pretty good quarterback, I don't know that he can elevate the rest of what they have there. And I do believe in our defense. If there's one thing I feel more confident coming into this, is that I don't think he's going to be able to have guys running free wide open with nobody covering them like Ryan and I had to watch in that game, where there's busted coverage like two or three times and you're like, what's going on out there?
It was a tough watch. That was a tough watch. I have this as a W, but I do think this is closer than Badger fans may want it to be. I think Malik Washington's really good. I think full stop. I think he's really good, and quarterbacks can flip games. But to Justin's point, it's a really good one. They lost their star defensive end, which stinks. I mean, injuries always stink. You never hope to see that, but he's gone for the year. They always have weapons, right? They always have weapons. They have a bunch of weapons again this year, but I just think it's a better roster. I think Wisconsin's a better roster. I really do. And last year, Maryland caught Wisconsin at about our worst spot, right? We were trying to figure out who's going to play quarterback. We tried Billy for a couple plays. It didn't work. I felt like that threw our entire game plan out the window, and we never – Doc, I'm an optimistic guy in general. He said, finally, our green for Ryan. I thought Maryland caught us at about our lowest last year, and we caught them at about their highest. I think that could be flipped on the inverse this year. So give me the dub.
Okay, Purdue on the road. I think it's 18 or 19 in a row that we've beaten over the Boilers. Because as someone from Lafayette, Indiana, I love nothing more than when we beat Purdue. And I can't even text my Purdue fan friends and family anymore because it's just so monotonous. We just continue to whoop them. We will eventually break that streak, and it will be a very sad day for me. But it ain't happening this year. It's a W for us against Purdue. It's on the road, but that, believe me, I know that stadium. I grew up around that stadium. It's not any kind of a home field advantage unless Drew Brees is your quarterback. So forget that. Purdue is not going to beat us. Nick
Oson. It's not an L, is it?
No, Nick Oson's got the W there. Yeah. All right. So, Justin, where are you at with this one?
So here's what I'll say about this game. I think it's going to be a win. I think it's going to be closer than what we've seen from Purdue more recently. I do think that they're going to be a team that's kind of improved a little bit this year. But I still think that the talent differential there is going to be a problem. And I do think we'll be able to get this one probably in the 2-touchdown range versus blowing them out and dropping, 40-plus on them.
Yeah, W for me as well. I mean, they're going to be able to move the ball a little bit better this year. They have a few answers offensively, a quarterback, and a few skill spots. But, again, I just do think Wisconsin's roster is elevated out of the bottom tier. And the weapons that we found down the stretch last year defensively, to Kevin's point, I thought was a really good one. We're going to see those weapons for an entire season this year. And I think that makes a difference in games like this. We're just going to have better pieces to move around. So give me the W. We're building a bit of a win streak here. Let's keep it going.
Before you go, Kevin, I want to add, yes, this is the 3-game win streak for Ryan, and now he is the last person to believe we'll be bowl eligible in the 11th game of the season. And our good friend Doc says, freaking killing me, you're starting to move down my list of favorites. I think he was talking to you.
He's talking to Ryan, yeah.
Okay, Kevin, where are you at with the Purdue game?
Yeah, I've got this as a win as well, because I don't think Purdue has much of an offense, and with the defense we'll have this year, they're going to have a tough time scoring, though, and maybe closer, as Justin thought, than a lot of people think.
Yeah. I mean, that streak's going to end one of these years, but it's not going to be this year because, again, it's one of these games we absolutely need. The game that I'm tired of losing is against, of course, the Minnesota Rodents. It's just that everything about this team pisses us off. The coach, the quarterback, you name it. Nobody likes any of this nonsense. The axe belongs in one place. And the little replica axe belongs behind me and it belongs behind Ryan. And we got to get that back up. We got to be able to show that axe and we have to be able to chop some goalposts down. Justin, this is you, starting with you here on the Minnesota Golden Gophers game. So, the axe, is the axe finally coming home?
So I'm going to say my piece on my schedule in general here. I want to be make it very clear because this is going to end up coming out 9-3 here in a second.
Which is what happened last year as well, by the
way. No, but so here's what the point I'm making on this is. Just because I say something is a win does not mean I am like would be shocked to see us blow a game. So when I say we're 9-3 here, there's games that I feel like percentage wise that I would say, yeah, I think this is a game I'd like to see us win or I think we'll win. We could very well lose. So when I put a 9-3 on this and people are like, you're a homer or whatever, it's like there could be two more losses in this schedule. And I would never bat an eyelash at it and be shocked. So what I'll say is this.
But ultimately, you're saying that you are actually like picking this. Like your prediction is we're going to be 9-3.
My prediction is 9-3. Okay. But there are multiple games where if we lose them, I'm not going to be sitting here like that's a shock to me that happened. Iowa being the primary one. What I will say is this. Luke Fickle, you could be 11-0 coming into this game. You lose to Minnesota, and I want you gone. Because there's one coach in college football that I'm just disgusted by losing to, and it's this clown that's in Minnesota. I think he's such a just – I'm not going to go into the words that I would like to use here. I don't like him as a person. I think that he's kind of a fake, gross human being. Wow. So I don't want to see our team lose to a person that's like that. This is the way it is. I think there's flaws on the Minnesota team this year. I think they do have a quarterback. I think they do have a running back. I don't believe in their offensive line to be anything special. And I don't believe the interior of their defensive line is going to be anything special, which is why I think the areas that actually significantly help Wisconsin in this game. I do think they'll be able to get pressure on Lindsey. And he, if anything I've seen from him, is a quarterback that does not want to move to throw the football.
Oh boy.
This is a home game, my man.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago too.
I didn't have our quarterback in that.
Let the man make his pick.
I do have a W here because there's no part of me that can say loss anyway. And I do listen. I do think we will beat Minnesota. I thought we beat them last year though, guys. I thought we beat them 2 years ago, right? So. As much as we and I as well, I agree with Justin. I think PJ Fleck is just a weird, cheesy goofball. You also got to give him credit. Like he's built a pretty good system at Minnesota for what Minnesota can do. You gotta give him credit for that. He's beaten Wisconsin now several times, where his predecessors never did for two decades. It felt like so. Listen, it's going to be a tough game. We know it is. They can run the ball. Taylor's a really good running back. Drake Lindsey, Justin, you said, I think they're going to run the ball because they've done
it every year. They averaged 103 yards rushing a game last year.
I think they have compared Darius Taylor with Drake Lindsey. I think they're going to run the ball. They have a couple guys on defense. And quite frankly, PJ Fleck gets them playing a certain way that is tough for Wisconsin to beat. So I have us winning this. I think we do have a roster that's better this year. It's at home. It's a massive game. Like, I don't love 7-5 guys, but if you go 7-5, you finish it off by beating Minnesota, I feel a lot better. So I'm taking the W here. I think it's a tough game.
I have it as a win as well. And mostly because I think we'll finally have an offense this year that is at least going to be average. And I think that would have been enough in a lot of the games that we lost last year to at least make us competitive and beat a team like Minnesota and hopefully Iowa.
Okay, so here's what I want to say. You can't be serious. Of course I'm picking a W. I think this is going to be a very, very difficult game. Two things, Justin already mentioned them. The right side of the Minnesota offensive line is a bit of a weakness. Talk to some of their people on one of our Know Your Foe shows. And their defensive tackles. They did bring in one really big 330-pound defensive tackle, but or 320, something like that. But I think we will be able to run the ball on them. What concerns me is that, again, similar to Iowa, this is a team that's now just knows how to beat us and is very confident. We were always the confident team when we played Minnesota. And we're not confident right now because this is at home. If this was on the road, I'm telling you right now, I absolutely would have picked a loss. This is a home game. I am going to pick a W. I'm at 8-4 on the season. Ryan is at 7-5. Nick is at 8-4. And Kevin and Justin both are at 9-3. So those are our final picks of the season. Nick, a little bit off from some of ours. His wins or his losses are UCLA and Maryland, but he has us beating USC and Iowa. He said he was very close between 7-8. He was struggling because he almost picked us to lose against Iowa. He actually, I think he was fairly confident about the USC game, but Iowa was his I didn't know kind of pick. So we ended up going 8-4. I mean,
that's probably the game that I would have picked too. Like, if I was going to flip one, it would be clearly that. What I will say, I'm very curious where your guys' thought is on this. Do you feel like that confidence that you just talked about of just knowing you can beat a team follows when we're in the transfer portal era and you have so much turnover in a roster in a given offseason? Where, like, Wisconsin has 50 new players coming to this season. The guys who there who would normally be the ones that you're hanging your hat on and being like, yeah, they've been here. They're used to what this is. A lot of that shifts now compared to the way it used to be, which is why you look at it and you say, you don't really know what a team is coming into a season anymore because half the roster is gone and it could be a completely different team from year to year. So I kind of look at it. I'm like, I have no idea what to expect from Wisconsin. We could fall apart and the chemistry could end up being garbage. We could end up being really good because the guys who we had here who kind of have come up with everything are finally the ones, the adults in the room, and are kind of running the show. We'll find out. But I think it's really interesting how that dynamic changes from season to season and what it means even across college football in general.
Yeah.
I think for me, I trust the places that have culture, right? Like, and Indiana is a great example of this. Indiana brings in Nick Marsh, who the star receiver for Michigan State. Nick Marsh shows up to practice one day wearing gold cleats, and Cignetti's like, get the hell out of here. Like, no, that's not what we do here. I don't care. Like, and the next day, Nick Marsh comes back, and he's got the red and white cleats on, right? So that's why I trust the Iowas, like the schools like that, because they built a culture where I think they bring people in. And if those people don't fit their culture, they just, sorry, it doesn't work here. So it's a good point. It is harder to judge teams now year to year. But I do trust the schools that have the culture built.
That's fair.
And I think that's what we used to be, by the way. And that's what we've got to get back to. If this is going to work with Luke Fickell, we have to get back to an identity, and something that we can trust in a culture that we have. To finish out the show, guys, I want to ask you two things. Who's going to win the Big Ten and who is going to win the national championship? I'm going to start with you, Kevin. Who's going to win the Big Ten? Who's going to win the national title?
I've got Oregon winning the Big Ten, but Ohio State winning another national championship.
Okay. And also, Kevin, anyone else from the Big Ten making the playoff?
I have OSU, Oregon, Indiana, possibly USC.
Okay. All right. So I think Ohio State is going to win the Big Ten and the national championship. I think Indiana is the team that I'm most scared of to not that I care about either of those teams, but I feel like that's a team that could potentially win the Big Ten, maybe not the national title. Oregon, personally, for the Oregon fans that listen to this, because I know I have a couple, I just don't believe in Dante Moore. I just don't. I've said it all summer. I will say it again. If people think he's going to win the Heisman, I'm not one of those people that thinks he's going to win the Heisman. I believe Ohio State with Julian Sain and their entirely fully loaded defensive front and everything else that they have on their team, I think Ohio State wins both. Justin?
But they have Raiola as the backup. Like, which, if things go wrong, like, you have him to just come in and take over. I actually think that Moore will end up being solid. I think that Oregon, I think, has a chance to win it here. I think he does have talent. You have to hope that he's going to grow coming into this year, but I like what the pieces are around him better than a little bit than I do overall at Ohio State. Ohio State, we talked about it during the transfer portal a little bit. They lost a lot of depth pieces that teams kind of pillaged them for a little bit. It'll be interesting to see. Like, I know the starters are going to be good. I'm very curious to see how it affects the second layer of players that have to play for them this year. Other than that, Indiana scares the hell out of me because I trust Cignetti. If he can get it done with Hoover and turn that guy to, like, turn down the turnovers, their wide receivers are two of the best, not even just in the Big Ten. Like, Marsh could end up being one of the best in the country, and so could Becker there, who was just a stud in the playoffs. So they could have a very, very good passing game if Hoover can get his act together. And the defensive line is, a lot of people think, is the best in the country. So Indiana is a very scary team there. I agree kind of on the USC line that I think that they have a chance to do it. They're very young, though. I think that they're going to kind of be one of those teams that hangs around all season long, but they're probably a year away because I think there's so many young guys that are going to be starting that just aren't ready for the pressure that's going to hit for this. And I think next year USC is going to be a team that's going to be a handful. National championship, by the way. Oh man, you know what? I'm gonna give it to Miami. I think that they have a chance.
What are you doing? What's wrong with you?
It's that better than Texas.
Well, but I'd pick a Big Ten team for goodness sakes. Anyway, go ahead, Brian.
Getting Indiana out of
the as long Big as Ten. It's not SEC.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be the SEC. I think maybe Georgia's the best shot there, but maybe Texas. Give me Indiana, though. Listen, I think you just got to trust Cignetti, right? That's at this totally point, fair. We talk about culture and about just understanding how to win. I mean, what does that do? Go look at the last four. That guy won a title at Indiana. I know it's happened. I know we talked about it, but it's worth repeating just to hear it out loud again. That guy won a national title at Indiana.
Might be better offensively.
His roster is better this year, by the way. Like, defensively, his roster is probably better. By the way, led by Preston Zachman and Joe Brunner. That's always fun, right? I think they're absolutely loaded. They got two stud receivers. They're deep on the offensive line. This is also a program that when Mendoza went there, nobody was talking about Mendoza as one tack one Heisman Trophy winner. Nobody was talking about him one tack one. They thought, hey, really nice pickup. But nobody thought that's a franchise quarterback. He goes to Indiana with Cignetti. I think he's going to do kind of the same thing with Hoover. And look at those recent additions they were able to bring back on their defensive line. That team is absolutely loaded, and they have the best coach in college football. Give me Indiana, Big Ten, Indiana, Natty again.
It makes me sick to my stomach to realize that you're right. And that, let's be honest, Kirsten Cignetti is basically the new Nick Saban. That's what this has become. The dude is an absolute monster. Could you just imagine for a second if we would have got Kirsten Cignetti and we would have got those JMU transfers and we would have won the national championship? Like, I don't even know how I would do. Like, it's the thought of that is just, oh my gosh.
So I would podcast till I died. I would just literally die on stream.
I have a question for you guys on that and what your thoughts are on this. Do you think a school that has, and not that Wisconsin has incredible pedigree, but do you think that a school like kind of the level where we've been previously would take a risk on a guy like that, that you'd look at and say, we might only get 5 years out of this coach? Because I feel like they always, the schools that are the bigger, like more representative schools in the country, they rarely don't go for the old coach. They go for the young, hot, you know, whatever guy that they can hopefully hold on to for 10 to 15 years. And that's where I think Indiana kind of got the luxury of this, of being, they were willing to take the risk. Cause that, let's be honest, Cignetti's incredible. The word on him is the fact that he's older and you'd like to be able to get 10 years, 15 years out of him. And he just doesn't have that shelf life.
Doesn't even matter. He won a national title. I'd have taken him for 2 years and been fine.
That's not how he quit. The athletic departments would probably look at him in that situation.
I understand. All right, we've gone a little bit over today. Thank you very much to Kevin Brown. Good friend of the show. We're excited to hang out with him and go to his tailgate up in Green Bay. And again, if you're still listening to this, hit that like button. Very helpful to the show. Comments. I want to know what you think. What's your final record? We've got a ton of comments. People listening to the show, thank you so much for joining us. And we are going to be in Green Bay, Titletown on Saturday, Stadium View on Sunday. Our show next week will be on Monday. Because, we, of course, the game's on Sunday. So we'll be kicking it back a day. Hopefully, we get to see a lot of you up in Green Bay next week. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for Kevin joining. Thanks for Ryan joining. And as always, on Wisconsin.
On Wisconsin. On Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to our YouTube channel at The Bucky Report or The Bucky Report Podcast from wherever you get your content. Until next time, on Wisconsin.